message in song. Beautifully done. Thank you. 1 Corinthians in your Bibles, please. If you join us, turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 while you're finding that. Tito Colon, Tito sits right back there and his wife Yvonne towards the back. They sit over here on my right. He is in ORMC, Orlando Regional Medical Center, and he's scheduled for surgery tomorrow. Back surgery. And very serious things. So pray for Tito, if you will. They're kind of new to our church. Members now about 3 months, something like that. Been coming for quite some time before that. Sandra Crow is home recovering from shoulder surgery. She might be watching by way of live stream. So Sandra, God bless you. And we're praying for you in a swift and full recovery. Sandy Bennett just got word a few minutes ago. Sandra Bennett is in Fish Hospital. And so if you'll add those were not in our prayer service on Thursday night, didn't have a prayer meeting on Thursday evening on July 4th. But if you'll pray for them. What every church needs. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Let's look, please, at skip down for the sake of time. Look at verse number 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. Let all your things be done with charity. I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. What does every church need? You're not going to like the first one. I'll give all three of them to you, then we'll pray, and then we'll dig into the Word of God that the Lord has for us, God willing, here in our midst. Here they are. Affliction. We don't like that. But according to God's Word, that's part of the Christian life. What every church needs is affliction. What every church needs is affection. Affection. And what every church needs is addiction. Okay? So those three, and we'll look at that. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you for the wonderful music. I hope that you've been pleased by faith believing. I do trust that the music has pleased your heart. And Lord, it's been offered up in good faith believing to praise your name. Lord, I pray that you'd help us here tonight. Speak to us. Encourage us. And Lord, convict us and change us. And Lord, we ask this so that we might be a brighter reflection of Jesus Christ. So clean the mirror, I pray. Wipe the glass. May the light of Jesus shine through. If there's someone here that we would look on the outside and say that they're a Christian, but you look on the inside and you know that they're lost, I pray that even the testimony time, whenever they were thinking, boy, I hope preacher doesn't call on me, because I don't know for sure I'm saved. I pray, Lord, that tonight will be the life-changing decision of their heart. So, Lord, thank you now. I'm trusting you to do what only you can do. May the office work of the powerful Holy Spirit enlighten our heart. And, Lord, turn the searchlight into our life. I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. What every church needs, first, we find, is affliction. Look at verse number 13. Watch ye. Watch out. Okay? Normally, that's not a good thing. You know? Sometimes you wonder if a preacher, when he's preaching along, and he goes like this, and you're thinking, stop! You know, watch out. There's danger there. You know? There's been a time or two. Thankfully, it's like a warning track. You know, there's a little molding there, and you can kind of feel that. But sometimes I have gone too far. I was speaking to the staff of Journey Through Christmas, the crowd of Journey Through Christmas one time, and I think I was on some steps or something. I don't know, somewhere. And boy, I was telling them to get fervent, fired up, you know, and put your heart into it, and that you may have done your part now 45 times so far in two nights. And you're going to have to ask God to put new fervency. And boy, I fell right off of the stairs. And I don't know for sure what I did. I rolled or something and hopped back up. And I said, and no matter what happens, you know, you just never know. Sometimes you just want to help people. You see something, you say, watch out. Well, God himself is speaking to the church. And he's saying, watch ye, be alert, be vigilant. He says, stand fast in the faith. Hold strong to the word of God, to the doctrine that has been delivered unto us. Quit you like men. Look alive. Look alive like a man. Quit ye like men. Be strong. May I tell you today, because there are afflictions coming, there's adversaries coming, and we have an enemy. His name is Satan, and he hates you. He hates the Volusia County Baptist Church. And he would love nothing more than to destroy the testimony of Jesus Christ here. Moses, he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. 2 Timothy 4:5, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. This health and wealth gospel that we hear preached a lot of times, they would try to imply that if you are right with God and you are pleasing the Lord in your life and you're faithful and you're obedient, you're going to have a wonderful life and you're just going to have smooth sailing and you have Almighty God, omnipotent power behind you, and you can just command everything to be at peace around you. You speak to those demons. I mean, all kinds of stuff like that, you know, going on. It sounds neat. It just ain't so. We're in a battle. And afflictions. I want to give you some things about affliction. Five facts about affliction. Five facts about affliction. The first fact is that God is in control over your affliction. He's in control over it. I want you to jot down some of these Bible verses and look them up later. Daniel 4:35. Daniel 4:35. Daniel is speaking to the king. He's speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. And he says, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he, God, doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He's talking to the king of the world empire now. And he's saying, bub, God's in charge. Almighty God, creator of heaven and earth, you might think that you're a god. He is God of all gods, king of all kings. He is sovereign Lord in charge of everything. That includes our afflictions. He controls the duration and the intensity of our affliction. He has his watchful eye on the temperature gauge and on the timer. He knows exactly where our breaking point is. He knows exactly what he's doing. He has not forgotten about you. God's in control over our affliction. Number two, God's love and mercies never cease. God's love and mercies never cease. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, the Bible says. The Bible goes on to say, because his compassions fail not. He never quits loving you. Well, preacher, I have stumbled and fell and skinned my knees and skinned my chin and failed the Lord and sinned against him. And may I tell you something? God still loves you. He still loves you. He might not like what you're doing right now, but he still loves you. His love and mercies never cease. His faithfulness is great. Number three, God is near us in our affliction. God is near us in our affliction. He's right there beside that hospital bed. He's right there beside that casket. He's right there at the bank. He's right there when you're trying to put your family back together. He is near you in your affliction. Isaiah 43:2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. My mind goes back there to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And when they came out of the fiery furnace, There was not even the smell of smoke on them. The fire could not kindle upon them. God's near in your affliction. Number four, God hears our every prayer. He hears our every prayer. Now, you say, well, preacher, you don't understand. I've been praying for my lost son, my lost daughter. They're unsaved. I've been praying about this physical condition. I've been praying for this financial need. And it seems like that God's not answering my prayer. Listen, please. God sometimes allows us to stay in times of affliction to teach us some wonderful things. And He does not give us what we want necessarily every time that He asks. But He always hears. He always hears. May I go so far as to boldly say He always answers. Sometimes He answers yes. Sometimes He answers no. And sometimes He answers wait. But if we could hear Him speak, He would always answer. We have His attention. 1 Peter 3, verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and His ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. If you're a child of God, just think, what if your child came to you and said, Daddy, I need something. I need this. I need the other. Boy, wouldn't you just, if you could, move heaven and earth if necessary to try to meet that need? Why? Because they deserve it? No, because you love them. God hears our every prayer. Number five, and God uses affliction to make us like Jesus. God uses affliction to make us like Jesus. In the book of James, right out of the gate, James is the practical Proverbs of the New Testament. Okay? I kind of look at it that way. Very practical book. If you're wanting to read something that gives you handles to grab a hold of for your Christian life, read over the book of James sometime. It's only five short chapters, and it speaks to many specific practical needs. And the very first thing, right out of the gate, verse number two, after the introductory statement of verse one, he deals with afflictions. He deals with trials. The very first thing, he says in verse two, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. And that word is the same word that is also translated trials. Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You may be perfect. Now, what is the perfect Christian? The perfect Christian lives like Jesus. That's a perfect Christian. A perfect little Christ is a perfect picture of what Jesus would do. So God uses affliction to mold us into the image of Jesus Christ. We depend upon Him. I'm probably just going to hasten and move quickly to the next verse here. The Bible says in our text in verse 14, let all your things be done with what? With charity. Now, perhaps you were introduced to the word charity in 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Okay? And if those of you who have studied the Word of God, you know that charity is the highest form of love. It is the agape love. It is the godly love. It is the unselfish love. It is the love that we cannot generate. It is the love that will be demonstrated through God living His life through us. The unselfish kind of love. So let all your things be done with charity. With charity. We need affection. Romans 12 verse 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. With brotherly love. Unselfish love. In honor preferring one another. The Bible tells us that we're to speak the truth in love. Your family, if you really love your family, you'll speak the truth to them, won't you? And you'll do it in love to help them and to be kind to them. Let me give you three facts about affection. The lack of affection is a sign of the last days. Folks, we need to have affection in the Church of Jesus Christ. We need to have affection here at Volusia County Baptist Church. I use the term affection because it probably is easier to connect in our mind automatically than the word charity. But we can use the two words synonymously. Agape, that's Greek, Greek to me, that kind of thing, and to me too. But listen, please, it's the unselfish kind of love. Some people might say, I love spaghetti, I love my car, I love basketball, I love this, I love that. We're talking about a whole different level of love here. Unselfish love without any kind of thought of return. Matthew 24, verse 12 says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. From 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. So a lack of affection is a sign of the last days. Folks, we're the children of God. If there's anybody that's supposed to have affection and love for one another, it is us for the family of God. So the lack of affection is a sign of the last days. The Lord's affection should be seen in God's family. The Lord's affection. The kind of love that you show to someone and without expecting anything in return. John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Wouldn't it be great if people walked in the doors of our church for the first time and they walked in and they said, wow, you have a loving church. They don't experience that. They walk into Moe's and they say, welcome to Moe's. They walk into Office Depot and welcome to Office Depot. They might even walk in their bar and have somebody say, Norm, call their name. When they walk into a church house, a lot of times they walk into a church house and everyone just looks at them. Who are you? Where are you from? Hope you don't sit right here next to me, Boy, you'd think they'd take a bath occasionally. I hope they don't come back. Don't worry, they won't. They won't. Reaching out in love. I hope and pray that people will just... I see this. I do. I'm not really scolding you. I'm encouraging you. I see people after Sunday school that have sat in here in Sunday school, and I see them up on their feet, and I see them going around and talking to people, and people are seated there a little more quiet, a little bit more new, and maybe they don't know them that well, and they stand there in the aisle and they talk with them. I see that happening here every single Sunday. Praise God, let's do it some more. It's not just during the fellowship time doing the holy lady huddle, thing going on. People might wonder about that. We wonder about that sometimes, but I'm talking about looking somebody in the eye and saying, boy, I'm so glad you came. Where are y'all from? Well, that's great. That's wonderful. My name's such and such, and this is, and my wife, she's here somewhere. There she is. So glad to have you here. And you talk with them for a little bit, and be genuine, and be open. And if you have the love of Jesus, would you look at them as if someone has an eternal soul and pray and ask God that something that you say might just win their heart over to where that when they hear the gospel, they don't know the guy up there preaching, but they know the guy that's three rows in front of them. And they think, wow, he thought I was somebody here. Amen. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you've been with Jesus. That you've been with Jesus. So good. The Lord's affection should be seen in God's family. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue, Hebrews 13:1. Brotherly love. Saw a guy here, hadn't been here in quite a while. I mean, quite a while. Like probably 3 or 4 years, quite a while. And I didn't even recognize him till halfway through I was preaching, sitting right over here on this side. I was preaching about halfway through and I saw him sitting there and I didn't recognize him at first and I recognized him. I thought, wow, that's great. And hung around and tried to get back there to see him. Sure enough, I got to see him after church service. Hugged his neck. Boy, it's so good to see you. Man, it was great, you know, and this and that. And I don't want to, you know, go any further, that kind of thing. Don't want you embarrassed or anything like that. It was just so good to see him. He's a child of God. And we, you know, he's been gone a while. I said, man, don't be a stranger. Come on back. We're glad to have you. Good to see you. Loving affection should not be of selfish benefit. The lack of affection, Lord's affection, and loving affection should not be selfish benefit. 1 Corinthians 13:5, in that love chapter, love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Love can only be known by the action it prompts. I'm not talking about some sloppy agape. We're talking about truly loving somebody with not just a hug. I'm talking about serving one another. Ladies, let's be careful. Gentlemen, let's be careful, okay? I'm real comfortable with a... In this day and time, you got to be careful about everything, you know, I guess. I guess so. And but, you know, I refuse to let some corrupt world dictate something to me differently than the Word of God tells me to do. OK, so when I see a brother in Christ and boy, we've, you know, been Bob, let me I called on you to this morning. I'm going to call you again. Come here a second, Bob. Yeah. OK. Now we did this kind of thing because he says, but I don't care what you got here. All right. And I'll show you. I hug guys like that. OK, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't want to be an embarrassment. I don't want to cause, you know, I feel like that I've known him, you know, for years and things like that. And there's just something about, you know, it's a good thing. I thank you, Bob. There is a young man. He's 5 years old. 5 years old. Usually comes up to me after church. And he came up to talk to me, and I sat down after church service and sat down there, and he sat down right there beside me. I just put my arm up there, you know, and things. We need to kind of show some love. But it needs to be a pure love. Okay? Guys, keep your hands to yourselves. Okay, guys, you can hug guys, but ladies, you know, your husband needs to hug you. All right, be careful about that. And occasionally, if it's a rare thing, there's a pure hug. Okay, there's Hope, come here. Where are you? Oh, she's on her way to pick up Melody. She has to listen to this message twice because she's not here. I'm teasing. Melody got engaged, and she's flying in, and so it's on Facebook. So I'm not telling you anything that some of you didn't already know. And so Hope's picking her up at the airport right now. She got in 6:15, 6:45, something like that. And but there are times that a lady needs some encouragement. You know, and there are times that I have hugged a lady side by side, shoulder to shoulder. You know, I just want you to know we care about you and we love you. You know, there are other times that there's, and guys, sometimes this happens. Sometimes a lady will come up and just hug you. Okay, do everything you can. If you can turn sideways or whatever like that, you know, and you know, whatever. Now, in this culture, in the Bible culture days, they did as other in Europe that they do this still today. They will kiss one another on the cheek with a holy kiss, and sometimes two times, you know, one on each cheek and all that kind of thing. It's a cultural thing. When I was in Africa, I believe y'all can testify to this. When I was in Africa on a mission trip, we saw guys and they were holding hands, walking down the street together. And when I first saw that, I thought, Oh my, what's that? And the missionary said, oh no, that's they're friends. It's culturally, there's nothing wrong, immoral, nothing like that. They're friends, okay? But in this culture, now we have a young lady. Well, I'm going on and on, but we have a lady from China that has been coming to church, and I don't see her tonight. But I believe she's over visiting her family for a month in China, and she was back. She hadn't been here for quite a while. And I call her by her Chinese name, not her English name. Her English name is Amy. And but I try to keep with her culture and things. And they bow. Now, she's trying to adapt. And she's trying to, you know, and things. So she'll stick out her arm, you know, to shake hands. And just trying. But I try to, you know, I try to bow. And I think she appreciates that. It's a cultural thing. Cultural thing. Showing kindness, showing love to one another. 1 Peter 1:22 says, seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. That's not pretend love. Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently. So loving affection should not be of selfish benefit. You don't ask somebody over, take them out to eat, hoping that they will take you out to eat next time, in other words. Find somebody that perhaps they would not have the means to take you out to eat, and take them out to eat and get them a sandwich and fellowship with them, knowing that they could never do that in return for you. Affection. What is love? It's silence when your words would hurt. It's patience when your neighbors curt. It's deafness when the scandal flows. It's thoughtfulness for another's woes. It's promptness when stern duty calls. It's courage when misfortune falls. Someone said this, the loneliest place in the world is the human heart when love is absent. Every church needs affection. He said, let all your things be done with charity. All your things. What kind of word is that? Well, that means nursery. That means choir. That means ushering. It means handing out gospel tracts. It means praying. All your things be done with a godly love, unselfish love. Every church needs affliction. Every church needs affection, and every church needs addiction. Look, please, at verse number 15. I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have, what's the word? Addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They've addicted themselves. Now, normally, we would not think of that word addiction as a good thing. The same root word is also translated in the King James as devoted. And so if someone has a habit of doing something constantly and they continue on, the house of Stephanas, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that these were the first ones, the first fruits. These are the first ones that the Apostle Paul led to the Lord in Achaia. Corinth was the capital of the province of Achaia. So it might be that perhaps we could look at it this way. As the Apostle Paul came to Florida, let's say, he was in Tallahassee, and in Tallahassee, he led the house of Stephanas. They were the first ones in Florida to trust Christ as their Savior. And now, many years later, they're continuing to serve God, continuing to point people to Jesus Christ, and they're doing it in such a way that they just can't wait to keep on doing it. They can't wait for Sunday. They're just hooked on serving the Lord Jesus Christ. They're finding ways to serve people that in the church. I can't move on without giving you some facts about sinful addiction. Number one. If you are sinfully addicted to something, you find yourself going over and over again to the same negative habit. Compulsive behaviors that dominate a person's life can be, I've jotted down a few, drugs, social media and gaming. Oh, no, that wouldn't happen. Alcohol, pornography, shopping. You know, some people just can't even, they see the QVC channel and it's just, immoral sex, food, gambling, and the list goes on and on and on. Did you realize that sin, all sin is addictive? All of it is. Lying, it's addictive. What a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. It's all addictive. It leads one to another, you know, stealing. Starts with just something, a little bubble gum at the store and progresses. Pretty soon embezzling as an adult. It all, the law of diminishing effects, diminishing returns. Number two, sinful addiction. When you're committing your addiction, you think you'll find relief if you just do it one more time. But instead, you dig yourself deeper in the hole. Number three, you never feel satisfied. Instead, you feel empty and trapped. Number four, someone has told you that you'd better stop. Someone has warned you that you might lose friendships or lose relationships. Number five, you don't feel close to God anymore, and you think there's no hope for you. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus Christ can set the sinner free. Let's look at what the Bible describes here as a godly addiction. A godly addiction. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. Jot down that reference in the margin if you write in your Bible beside that verse 15. Galatians 6, 2. The Bible says in Galatians 6, 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. We will fulfill the law of Christ if we bear one another's burdens. Look back at our text. Look at verse 15. I beg of you, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the what? Ministry of the saints. They were bearing the needs of the saints, of the believers. Lord, what can I do to help so-and-so? What can I do to encourage their heart? It might be that they're not here. It might be that you look around and you say, where's so-and-so? I could call some names here. We're on live stream and I don't want to embarrass people. But folks, we do that every Monday morning. We go over who was not here at church on Sunday. There's about nine of us that sit down around a table. And because of our ladies that have gone through and taken attendance through our video ministry and things, we take attendance in our Sunday morning service, Sunday evening service. And they do that. And we sit down and we look and see who wasn't here and why they weren't here. Were they out of town? Were they sick? Does anyone know what's going on in their heart and their life? If we don't know what's going on, we go after them. We want to let them know that we missed them at church. They don't just fall through the cracks. There's somebody special, important. Amen. Bury one of those burdens. 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. In other words, the Apostle Paul was saying this. Saying, I don't want to be under anyone's control except for the control of the Spirit of God. Amen. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You probably know the verse. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God wants to shape you into His image, into His mold, so He can use you in His hand. We're talking about these altars. Down there, here, there, down there. There's probably some people in our church that would just do a magnificent job. We're not trying to have a beautiful piece of furniture. We just want to do something that the Lord can use and things. But the things that I've built, you can tell I built them. You really can. I don't have to sign my name to them. People know. And so the Lord can use any of us to do anything. But some people He's gifted in miraculous ways and wonderful and beautiful things that you can do. But in the absence of someone that God has intended, God will still get the job done. He wants to do it through you, and He brings three things into your life. He wants to touch you with affliction. Oh, no, 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 no. God, I don't want that. Please, no. He says, that's one of my best tools. It doesn't last too long. The Bible describes it as our light affliction, which is but for a moment in comparison with eternity and the rewards waiting for us. In comparison with that, it seems like in comparison, it's just a moment. Affliction. He wants to touch your life with affection. He wants to pour His love into you, not to make you feel good, but so you can touch other people with His love. Because it only comes from Him. We can't generate that unselfish kind of agape love, that Christ-like love. It only comes from Him. It's not human-based. It's God-based. It's heaven-based. And then He wants to touch you with some addiction, to where that you cannot wait to come back to church. You can't wait to find who God will use you to touch across the aisle or up in front of the church or in back of the church or in the parking lot. There is a young couple hadn't seen in quite a while. I ran out in the parking lot. They were fixing to head out. I went out and I caught them. I just wanted to share the love of Jesus. Here's a young couple. Anybody remember what it was like to be a young couple? It's tough. And you know, it's needful for someone to reach out and just say, hey, you're special. You count. You don't have white hair and you count. Truth is, a little six-year-old counts. They have a whole life to give to Jesus Christ. Jesus always had time for children. Always did. So, where are you at? The biblical buffet. You're passing by and you say, oh, that affliction. No, no, please. No, no, I pass. Go ahead and hold your plate there and say, Lord, as you see fit, you know my heart. I'll take what you want. Small dose, please. Small dose, please. He said, I'll be with you through it. And then the love that I give to you in your affliction, you'll share with somebody else in affection. And then you'll love it, and if you do it, make it a habit of your life, you'll be addicted to it. You'll be looking forward. Can't wait to get the next hit of serving the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit empowering you, guiding you like a guided missile with a directing power of God to touch someone's heart. And you see their eyes puddle up, and you don't know what all's going on in their life, but you realize that there's more than you can see. You say, thank you, Lord. I'm nobody. I'm a washout. But Lord, thank you for using a clay vessel. Do it again. I want you to do it again. And you'll find, like the house of Stephanus, you'll be addicted to the ministry. Every church needs all three. Go ahead and volunteer. You can even volunteer for the affliction. I know none of us want to, but you can do that because God's in charge. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't want to go in the fiery furnace, but they knew one thing. I won't bow that knee to anyone but Almighty God. And God said, way to go, boys. And Jesus got in the fire before they ever were there. And they walked in and Jesus said, hey, welcome, boys. You done good. I don't know what they talked about in there, but I believe they were talking and they were having a good old time. Heavenly Father, help us now to trust you. And Lord, just to be real Christians. Holy Spirit, thank you for your precious word. Thank that you are willing to use us. May we present ourselves a clean vessel in thy hand. And Lord, trust you to do what only you can do through us. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed. Would you stand to your feet? Everyone standing. If God's moved upon your heart, I don't know what it would be. I really don't know. There's so many areas that God could have spoken in this message. But if God has spoken to your heart about something, won't you just come and say, Lord, I heard your voice. I heard you. I just want you to know I'm not embarrassed. I'm willing to obey you. Give me grace. Increase my faith. Help me to serve you. This invitation is for you. This is your turn. If God's spoken to your heart as the instruments play, would you come right now? Right now, would you come? If God's moved upon your heart, only trust Him. Only trust Him now. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord. His mercies are new every morning. Perhaps the heat of the affliction. When you came to church today, perhaps the heat of the affliction had your full attention. Would you ask Jesus to be there in the fire with you? Would you please? He can take you out of the fire anytime He chooses. He can work the miracles. He can do that. Maybe God wants to move through you to show affection and His love.